gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Gamertag Radio, episode 1248. Yeah, I had to give it a government name. I had to say the whole thing because it's insane that this podcast has reached this amount of episodes. But I'm Paris, and I'm here this week with Pete.
Yo, what's up? It's been a minute since it's been just the two of us, isn't it?
I know. Thank God. No Danny this week. Yeah. You know, it's funny. He sent me an episode. God, I can't remember the year, but this must have been around the PS, around when the Xbox One and the PS4 was about to come. I think they were about to come out. I don't think they're actually out yet. This might have been post that, right before the E3, it must have been, because we were talking about, we were speculating on prices and everything, but it was me, Danny. Oh, because I wasn't even part of GTR yet. So yeah, that actually lines it up. So this would have been 2013-ish up in there somewhere. But anyways, it was me, Danny, JVB, Hip Hop Gamer, Lady Luck, and Poston. Wow. We're all on that episode doing this round table. Yeah, because I was, and I'm doing air quotes, retired because I wasn't podcasting anymore. And I came back somehow. Obviously, we must have been having some conversation on Twitter, because I think Hip Hop must have made some tweet or something about the PS4. And we're debating back and forth about how the 360 was dominating the market versus the PS3, and what Sony was going to have to do to catch up with the PS4. Fascinating conversation. And obviously, but they must have just done that PS4 reveal, because we're talking about Destiny and potentially what Destiny could be, right? And there was all this weird speculation, and we obviously didn't know anything about pricing and any of that stuff. And the main argument that I had back then was that the PS3 had overtaken the 360 in actual hardware sales, but the attach rate was less for games. So people were buying more games on the 360 than they were on the PS3 at the time. And we were talking about how you could play multiplayer online on the PlayStation for free versus you had to pay for Xbox Live Gold at that time. And did that matter? And it was, well, you're paying for Xbox Live, but Xbox Live is superior multiplayer experience. And just, it was fascinating to hear. So obviously this is all like 10 years ago. We're talking about stuff and how things have changed in the past 10 years. And it's completely the opposite at this point, where Microsoft is the one that is scrambling to catch up, you know, in market share to the PlayStation, not only in hardware, but obviously in software as well, and games, and, you know, just how things have changed. Now we got Game Pass and, you know, all that stuff. Cloud, you know, is this thing. We're seeing all these major acquisitions that have happened. You know, PlayStation just actually owns Bungie outright at this point. Speaking of Destiny,
things have definitely changed over the past. Wow. It's been 15 plus years where we've all known each other, either as friends through the industry, or now, obviously, you know, the relationship we all have is basically brothers with different family members. But yeah, it is funny to go back through the archives and just listen to the comments, the mentalities. I mean, obviously we were all still young in the industry, and it's funny how all of our I guess you could not, I want to say quirks, but I want to say the mentality, and like, I guess the maturity, right? Of just being in the industry for this long. I don't want to say we're jaded, but we obviously are no longer fascinated by the wow and glitz of the marketing spiel. We all have been in it long enough to now finally be able to say, okay, is that market speak or is that actual? It is fun to go back through the archives every once in a while, just pick a show at random and just see where we go. On the last show, I think Danny had asked, it was either Danny or it was a fan mail question, and had to do about like when my first episode was, or, you know, like the first time we were on the show. when I talked about it was episode 92. And if you think about that, that is, I've been in this relationship now 17 years with my wife, and that was like year one, right? So 16 years mm-hmm. ago. And like hearing me on the show, just every third word was or like or and there's it's and my viewpoint on games and how to play online is totally different now than it was 15 plus years ago. So it's great to see how personalities, I'll put it, whether it's mine, yours, Danny's, you know, those that were on the show from the past or are part of our circle. It's amazing to see how those have all changed and evolved over the years, you know, regardless of whether we agree with one another, regardless of the friendship dynamics, et cetera. It's always great to go back and listen to those conversations to see how they wax and wane, or how they've waxed and waned throughout the years.
I know it's freaking crazy. So it's funny because for me, I just use my son as kind of the gauge for how long I've been doing this, because my son was born in May, and then it was a month later that I decided, hey, I want to start doing a gaming podcast. And I had reached out to Danny, and you know, everybody knows that story at this point. But he's going to be 17 this May, which is it's insane. You know, he'll be a senior in high school next year. It's just it's nuts when you think about all of that, just how long we've all been together and all that. Like even you and I, first time we met in 2008, which was at CES, mm-hmm. and I was just there in Vegas at DICE, and I was even kind of reflecting, thinking about that. I didn't actually go do it, but I even had a weird thought. I was like, you know what? I should go find that In-N-Out that we all went to and go there. I didn't do it, but I thought about it. I definitely thought about it at that time. But it's just crazy how long we've been doing that, and you know, even the stuff you and I were just talking about offline.
Yeah.
And you know, all the years and the people and just the experiences and things that we've done has just been nuts. You know what? Let me pause for a second. So again, this is Gamertag Radio. This is episode 1248. Again, I want to thank everybody for listening. Obviously, you can find us over at gamertagradio.com. And if you want to leave us any feedback, you can do it just like this.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, back to what I was saying real quick. So, like, it's even nuts just here just a couple weeks ago being at DICE in Vegas. Danny's there, you know, with Rihanna and, you know, I'm hanging out with Andrea and, you know, Greg Miller's there and seeing Stella and Gary Whitta. And, you know, I'm literally walking out of the DICE Awards behind Ted Price and Todd Howard, and Ted Price knew who I was. Blew my freaking mind. Right. Talk about a fanboy moment. I got Todd Howard and Ted Price acknowledging who I am and just stuff. It's just weird. It's just crazy how things have evolved over the years with us just, you know, doing this little silly podcast talking about video games. And it's gotten to the point where, you know, being in the industry, look, I ain't no superstar or anything crazy like that, but to know all the hard work that we've put in, you know, to see, you know, where Danny has ascended to, and you know, just being this respected figure in the industry, and you know, having our work being acknowledged for, you know, what it's been over the years. It's just crazy, dude. It just really is. And look, we know obviously you are now across the pond, but you know, you're always a part of this as well, man. It's freaking nuts, dude.
It's wild. Cause I was going through pictures a couple of days ago, on my desktop, and like 2015, you and I in London.
No, dude, I was just talking about this with Danny. I was talking about both London
and Paris, and then Paris. The year, yes. And then a year later, the two of us in Paris, and then the random chance encounter with Mandy in the middle. I think it was Montmartre or something like that, or the Sankara. We did the catacombs, and then we went. It's just wild how that was almost like a precursor to my move, because it was like, that was my first time overseas. I know you had been overseas before, but like for me, that was my first time being overseas, like in Europe, and you know, just. And it was just mind blowing that, you know, it was like that exposure, that moment of, hey, there's a whole new world out there, and it's not just South Florida or New York, right? Like, 'cause that's all I really knew at that time. Yeah. And it's wild that 5 years later, here I am living here. It's just insane.
I know, it's nuts. But it's funny, 'cause I was just talking to Danny about this a few days ago, where I was saying how that day in Paris where we met up with Mandy just so happened to be in London doing other work, came over to where we were in Paris, and we spent the day together. Like you said, we went to the catacombs, we went to the Louvre, mm-hmm. I forget the name of that big church. We went to that church, people shushing us in there trying to talk, and just that whole day we all three of us spent together. It's a moment I'll never forget. It'll always be very, very special to me that, you know, again, the silly, dumb podcast we're doing translated into us literally being in Europe and the three of us all at once being there together, you know, for different reasons, but being able to just hang out and, you know, dude, like I said, I'll never forget it. I'll just never forget experiences like that, because it was special, dude. It really was.
Yep. Hopefully we'll be able to get the group together, right? I don't know if we'll be able to get the whole group, but, you know, I need to get you and Danny here in Europe's, just so that we can all experience it together as a team. Right. 'Cause like, that's something that we've never been able to do. Right. We've been in LA, we've done the whole E3 thing, but I think it would be that much more special to have the three of us together in Europe somewhere, whether it's in London, whether it's Paris, whether we all go to Gamescom together or something like that. It has to happen. We got to figure out a way to make that happen.
100%. We definitely have to make that happen. And I'm sure people are listening to this going, well, goddamn, I didn't tune into this for y'all to go down memory lane. But we did anyways. So that's fine. But yeah, so obviously Danny's not here. He is. Okay. I have to make fun of this.
So I know where you're going with this too.
He is. I'm not going to say where he is, but because unlike Danny, I don't put personal business out there. For Danny will put all your business out there. I'm not going to do that. But he is with his wife and they're doing their thing, but they're celebrating the World Baseball Championships in the Dominican Republic, but they're not where the Dominican Republic is playing. And supposedly you have to put the Dominican Republic flag in your profile or he won't acknowledge you on social media. I learned that yesterday as well. And then when you do, he puts your business out there again. So screw you, Danny. Don't think I don't. But actually, you know, being serious for a second, Danny and I, since it is public knowledge, Danny and I did go to a preview event for Redfall. We did get some hands-on time with Redfall. There is embargoes and things surrounding that, so we cannot talk about that just yet, but we will in the very near future. And it was good to hang out with him in LA for the day, you know, obviously see his wife, Rihanna. And, you know, it was a good time. It's always a good time when we're able to get together. It's funny because obviously we all live in Southern California, but they live in Los Angeles and I do not go to Los Angeles unless I have to, unless there's no choice. Traffic is insanity. I don't care what day of the week. I don't care what time of the day. It's always dumb. So I don't go to LA as much as I probably should, since we're all close together, but it's always good when we get a chance to hang out.
For sure.
All right. So let's jump into the show and, you know, kind of talked about it a teeny tiny bit at the trip down memory lane, but Bungie, Destiny, more specifically Destiny 2, even more specific than that, their new expansion release, Destiny 2 Lightfall. So, Pete, I have a surprise for you.
Oh, boy.
I've barely played it.
Oh, wow.
And I'm actually very curious your thoughts on this. There's a reason I've barely played it. So, you know, I just went through the base campaign and I kind of put it down. Obviously, there's 10,000 other things distracting me, which kind of leans into that. But at the same time, as much as I look, I'm a ride or die Destiny guy to the end. I will be there when they turn the lights off, right? When the last packet travels from the server to my console, I will be there for sure. But what I found is, as we're here in, I believe this is year 9 of Destiny, I'm still here for the gameplay, the moment-to-moment gameplay. But I found this story of Lightfall pretty lackluster. I get kind of what's going on here. Lightfall was supposed to be the end, right? This was supposed to be the wrap up to it, you know, with the witness and all that. And they've kind of extended that out to the final shape. But coming off of Witch Queen, this just didn't hold up for me. And I understand that we're obviously going to find out more about the Veil and all that throughout the calendar year, which is fine. But it kind of just left a sour taste in my mouth in that it was like, well, I still really don't know nothing. Right? You know, it was one of those things where it was, you know what? And again, this isn't spoilers, but this is almost like when I just saw Ant-Man Quantumania, where Quantumania was pointless. Nothing happened. Basically, the Pyms and the Langs took a trip to the quantum realm. Nothing really happened. They met Kang and Conqueror and they went back home. And you were more invested in the after credits than you were in the actual movie. That's how I kind of see Lightfall. They just did the raid this weekend. Obviously, I did not participate in that. Mm-hmm. But I'm not giving up. I don't hate Destiny or anything, or I think it's terrible. But I didn't feel that urgency to just grind through it and play it like I may have 3 years ago, or honestly a year ago with Witch Queen, where I'm kind of, all right, I did the story. I'll get back to this later. That was kind of my mentality. I'm like, I'm going to go do something else versus just staying on main with Destiny 2 right now. So I'm hoping it's not franchise fatigue. And I know we're obviously on the back end anyways. I mean, you know, Destiny probably has another year or two of actual story relevancy before it kind of just goes into legacy mode. I get that. But I do want it to go out with a bang. And like I said, I'll be there to the end. But this was probably the first year. And hell, it's been 9 years. Mm-hmm. But this is probably the first year where I'm like, I'll get back to it later. So that's my thoughts on Destiny 2 Lightfall.
I'm surprised, but I'm not. When you said that you had something to say about it, I was like, uh-oh. You know what I mean? It's just like,
yeah.
But think about it. It's 9 years invested in a title, right? I mean, when you think of the number of hours the two of us have invested, you obviously, you've probably doubled or whatnot the number of hours that I've put into it. It's still like 2,500 plus hours or something like that. That is a lot of time. Actually, no, I lies. Mine is, I think, like less than 2,000, but still, that's a lot of time. When you really put it into the context of normal day-to-day life, that's like a full-time job for a whole year, right? Mm-hmm. Spread out over 9 years, obviously, but that's a lot of time to have invested into this. Not to mention being on podcasts or the research or figuring out like tuning your builds or trying to figure out the next best thing to like, what's the next meta? How do you break the meta? It's just the amount of time that we've all invested into these things. So to be honest, I'm not surprised to hear that you have franchise fatigue with this. I mean, we've all had it in one way, shape or form throughout our lives for titles. I don't know if this one in general is as exciting for others. For me, I like it honestly more than the last one, but maybe that's because I like the fact that we've not gone down the dark path and now we're you know, the light and you're on Neomuna and everybody looks like Silver Surfer and it's bright and shiny. And it's almost like this is what could be, right? It is interesting. I haven't finished the game yet because, you know, I haven't had the time to fully divest into it. But I am enjoying it a little bit more this iteration than I was versus the previous launch, right? And I don't know what is, I don't know if maybe they've tweaked it to make it easier for people like me to jump back in. But I remember.
Well, they have to. They have to. That's been part of their issue the past few years is people that do walk away, you know, it feels very intimidating to come back. So they definitely tweaked it for that.
Yeah. Cause like I think 2 weeks post launch, this same time last DLC, I was still underpowered and I couldn't do anything, right? It was like, and it was difficult for me, obviously 9 hours away from 6 to 9 hours away, depending on where in the States. Most of the people that I would have played with are, you know, usually not on or hell, not even awake by the time I'm up and playing. And it's funny, I was playing it the other day and one of my friends asked me, he's like, oh, so you're playing with Paris? And I'm like, I wish. I wish, but you know, time variances do jump into and cause a problem. But I am enjoying this one more. And I think at this point, I am just about to hit 1700 and I have not put as many hours into the game as I probably should have. And I've also found that I have zero clue what the hell I'm doing in Destiny 2 now. Just before we came on, I was online. I was doing a mission on Neomuna, and people are activating Strand supers and doing all these other things and pulling things. And I'm just like, I'm just waiting for my grenade timer to come back up so I can throw another grenade. And I'm like, where are y'all getting all this extra power? So it's not that my guns aren't doing it. It's just like I don't understand the rest of the Destiny craft of the it's like you have two supers now almost. Am I wrong? You have like the regular supers and then you've got the Strand super. So it's
well yeah. You still have your base three and then you have
Void Arc. God, yeah. Void Arc and Solar, blanking? And then you've got it's the Strand. The one from Strand.
Beyond Light.
Oh no!
Well, Strand's a new one, but the one from Beyond Light. Yes. Why am I blanking?
See, I don't even know that one. I don't know how do you activate those? How do you get those?
Stasis. I'm being a moron. Stasis. Okay. You have Stasis, and then now you have Strand, and now you've been able to upgrade Void. You can upgrade Arc, and then
upgrade Solar.
You know, obviously, yeah. Now it's with the fragments and everything. So, yeah, it's definitely evolved. If like say you walked away from Destiny, I don't know, 3 years ago and haven't really played the game's definitely, truth be told, this is Destiny 3. We are playing Destiny 3 right now. They're just not calling it Destiny 3. It is definitely leaned more RPG now than it ever has. The customizations, again, you can craft weapons now. You can obviously the mods that you can do with your armor. There's transmog in it. Yeah, obviously, we just talked about the supers and how you can kind of customize those as well. So there's a lot that has happened with Destiny over the past few years. And again, they're trying to make it so people can come back and play. But even I still think there's a little bit of intimidation with that. And the story has just gone in such a dramatic place that, yeah, if you've not played in a while, you have no idea what the hell is going on.
Yeah.
Just not.
And there's nothing there to like handhold you through this. Like you literally have to go out and find a Discord server or find a group of individuals that are willing to hold your hand through the whole step. Because like you said, I am that guy that walked away five years ago, maybe. Like that's when PUBG launched. Because we're going into year six. Mm-hmm. I am that person that walked away from Destiny. Right. Having, doing the night, doing weeklies and nightlies and nightfalls and the whole nine and doing, 1 to 2 raids a week and stuff like that. And
there's Grandmaster nightfalls now.
I'm not even strong. I'm 100 light away from even getting into the nightfall. So I'm not even looking at that. Yeah. Like yesterday I was watching, videos from Datto and it was like, okay, here's your mods and here's what you need to do to tweak them. So you pull out more energy to do the, and I'm just like, I took my glasses off and I was like, oh my God, this is what stopped me from playing Madden because it became too difficult. It was like, there was too much work to do. It's like you had to do all this math and you had to like, that's probably why I like PUBG so much because it's simple. You come in, you shoot, you die or you live. There's not a lot of extra work to go in there with all these mods and all these other things. And maybe that's just me being the old cantankerous guy, but it's, is there anybody out there that listens to the show that is perhaps in the EU? If you are, hit me up on the Discord, discord.gg/gamertagradio. Hit me up, help me out, hold my hand, walk me through, walk an old man through Destiny Lightfall, please.
Well, part of the issue is, and you know, we don't want to spend too much more time on this, but part of the issue is, you know, they vault content now. So it is virtually impossible for you to, and I'm talking in air quotes, Destiny 2, to pick up Destiny 2 and start from the Red War all the way to Lightfall, like all that content. You cannot consume all that content in a linear fashion. It is now broken up. Like I said, entire campaigns, you know, and in-game content has been vaulted away. You know, some of it comes back, like you can do King's Fall right now, right? They brought that back from original Destiny. You can do Vault of Glass, things like that. But it's not linear. It's not going to make sense to you from a story standpoint. You're going to be dropped in at a certain point in time, and then you just kind of got to figure it out. You know, obviously there's still online resources, like you just brought up Datto as an example. But like, I even just saw, you know, MTash. I actually just saw MTash tweet yesterday or the day before how he took an extended break, and he's actually intimidated to come back from a content creation standpoint. Of because he's so far gone
right
from it, right? It is what it is. Again, we're in year freaking 9. So this is not a complaint at all. I think what Bungie has done with that game since 2014 is remarkable. It is the gold standard when we talk these type of live service games. I mean, you know, Fortnite aside, I think that's in its own category at this point, but the fact that Bungie has kept Destiny around and kept it thriving, and it has a very healthy user population all these years later, and they're continuing to innovate on that game and do interesting and new things with it, has to be applauded. You know, whether I'm as engaged as I was now as I was back 5 years ago is irrelevant at this point. I easily have 3,000 plus hours in this game, if not more. Wow. I have no idea what it truly is, but I've had my fill. If anything, if I think about the last generation of gaming, I missed out on so much because I invested all my time into playing Destiny.
Right.
You know, I remember the joke was with Danny all the time with us, kept telling us to go play other games because all we do is play Destiny. And that's fine. I had some of the best gaming experiences I've had in my life are in that game. And I'll always love it and cherish it for that point. The friendships and the people that I've met around the world because of that game is something I'll always cherish, you know? So hell, we even have personal friends that literally work there now.
Yep.
Which is insane. So yeah. I mean, hey, I may not be the most enthusiastic right now about Lightfall, but I'm going to keep playing. I'll play it. I'll do the raid. I'm, you know, dungeons come, like I'll be doing all the end game activity stuff throughout the year, but that's how I'm kind of looking at it now of pace yourself. There's no, I don't need to consume it all at once. I can pace myself throughout the year, you know, consume it at my pace. I'm at a point now where I don't need to be in that top 5% as far as,
right.
Hey, I definitely play it more casual than I used to. And that's fine. And that's what I mean. Like even with this raid right now, I don't have the patience anymore to hop on the struggle bus underpowered trying to complete a raid. I don't have the patience anymore to be figuring all these damn puzzles. Hey, look, we get stuck. What did Datto say to do? All right, let's just do that. You know what I'm saying? It's like I'm at that point now. That's fine. I mean, you're obviously still going to have people like, it's crazy. World's First, was it 3 hours?
Yeah.
Bro, there have been raids where they ain't figuring it out to the next day.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think 24 plus hours.
You mentioned MTash, and I think he said something like, you know, not every raid takes like 20, like remembering 20 symbols, which was what made the last one such a pain, right? You had to remember what each symbol and the variation of it. And it, you know, it's such. So I'm glad that in a sense that they're simplifying it. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Siri. I'm glad to see that maybe it's not dumbing it down, but making it more acceptable or making it a little bit more open to other people to join in, not make it so uber difficult. But it was funny seeing some of the people on Twitch on that, you know, going for world's first, struggling so hard, because that's ultimately what it is, right? It's the ultimate pinnacle of Destiny, right? Those are, those are the ones that, you know, deserve to be on those upper those upper lists of top players in the world. But it is still interesting to see how well some of these levels are crafted and some of the requirements that are needed to get into it. Hopefully, this opens the door for people like me who have stepped away for 5+ years to be able to get back in and walk in and play with most people. You know, hopefully the community is still a little forgiving for wayward guardians such as myself who have gone away and are coming back. And hopefully, you know, we can find a community, or maybe there's the community within our own Destiny, you know, within our own Discord, of people who are maybe not trying to spend 50 hours a week playing the game, but can sit back and have a couple of parties that get together and just play the game for a few hours a week. I think I'd be interested in that. I don't, like you said, I don't want to spend, you know, 5 days a week, you know, 7 hours a night trying to play the game, but it would be good to have to find a new core group of people to play Destiny, especially one that are open to helping Sherpa struggle bus champion like myself.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you on that. Yeah. It's, hey, like I said, year 9, man, it is what it is at this point. But, you know, kudos to Bungie for keeping the train moving. And like I said, we get in where we can fit in at this point. Okay. But all right, moving on. Actually, I'm looking at the time here. I'm going to condense this down to one final topic before we get out of here. And that's Starfield. So it came out this week that we are getting a Starfield Direct on June 11th after the Xbox E3 showcase, where Bethesda will be able to deep dive in a standalone event to kind of unveil everything that we're going to want to see and know about Starfield. And that will happen on June 11th. And then on September 6th, 2023, I think it's important to say the year, 2023, we're getting Starfield. They've committed to a launch date on it. And I'm actually curious from your standpoint, thoughts on this, because we know, or, you know, last June they committed to Xbox, the 12 month thing where, hey, these are the games you're going to get in the next 12 months. And Starfield is falling out of that window. Not by much. It's, you know, by 3 months. So 15 months versus 12 months. But I've seen various comments online about that. And before I give my personal thoughts on it, I'm actually curious about you, Pete. I mean, what do you think about the release date? Are you interested in Starfield? What are your thoughts?
I mean, I think it's hard pressed to find someone who doesn't have interest, isn't, you know, that their interest isn't piqued when you mention the word Starfield, right? We're talking a game that's a decade in development, I think. I mean, they trademarked the actual name like 8 or 9 years ago, but it's been in development for probably a decade now at this point. I have seen the vitriol online. People are complaining, saying that, you know, oh, you know, keep delaying it. Is it going to be No Man's Sky all over again? I think that's, you know, people just going a little overboard. But it does fit in with what I said a few shows ago. You know, I think being, for whatever reason, they're holding Starfield for the end of the year, and it makes sense, right? Make your biggest splash with your most expected title going into the holiday season. From a business perspective, that makes sense. For us, I think it's been almost as common as Danny saying exclusive on the show when we talk about game delays, right? I'm fine with games being delayed, provided the end result is a great game slash great experience. I think that's what we all are looking forward to. But when it comes to a Bethesda title, it comes with like a little bit of salt at the end of the day, right? Because Bethesda is known for launching buggy games. I think the most common thing that comes to mind, or the first thing that comes to mind for me, is, remember, it just works, right? Todd Howard saying that. But I think 8+ years in development should be more than enough time to develop, test, QA, and release a game of this magnitude. But there's always, like I said, there's always that little inkling of, is it going to be buggy like Fallout 87 or Fallout 4 or every other Bethesda title that's launched in the last 10 years? I'm okay
he
with
said Fallout, he said Fallout 87,
76, 87, 43, whatever. But again, I'm on the boat of I'm okay with delays. You know what? Yeah, you've made promises and, you know, people have expectations when you make promises like that. But with as many games going back to the aforementioned No Man's Sky, Cyberpunk 2077, and every game in between that is launched in a buggy state and has needed additional baking time in the oven for it to reach its potential. Happened with Fallout 76. It happened with No Man's Sky. It happened with Cyberpunk 2077. So for this game to have, yes, it was supposed to be launched November 11th, 2022. It was supposed to be my birthday present from last year. Didn't happen. Got pushed to the first half of 2023. And now we have this September 6th launch date. I'm okay with that. As long as when it launches, it has the least amount of problems possible. Having been in IT for nearly 25 years, I also understand that you can't solve for everything. It's kind of like, you know, Reed Richards of the Fantastic Four and his quest to solve everything, right? You can never fix every single problem. There's always going to be that one-off little bug that happens that's just happens to be a unique combination of whatever hardware you have in your machine, whether it be console or PC. But as long as it's not a bug that overall blows out the game and makes it unplayable, I'm okay with that. But am I looking forward to it? Yes, I am. I am excited.
Yeah, and to be clear for me, I'm looking forward to Starfield, and I'm of the let me get this out of the way. So I've seen so many comments over the past week or so since they've announced this release date, people acting like they delayed this game to 2025. And like in some of the sensational clickbaity headlines that I've seen from various sites about Starfield delayed again, I'm thinking, okay, yes, technically it is delayed, but you're acting like this is a major thing. For them to delay it an additional 90 days, you know, for some a final look at polish, not to mention look at the release window. Let's take what's happening right now with Xbox. Hi-Fi Rush was a shadow drop in January. You know, they've had some Game Pass announcements here in February and in March, which have been solid, like Wulong as an example. They also had Age of Empires 2 come to console late January as well. Then we're getting to April. We're going to get Minecraft Legends. Then in May, we're getting Redfall. June is E3. Obviously, it would be either you're putting out an end of the month or you're not. You're not going to put Starfield out in July. Maybe August, but even that seems kind of a weird window to drop it in. So to put it out in the first week of September just makes a lot of sense,
I mean,
in my opinion.
If you drop it in October, in August, it interferes with Baldur's Gate, right? And that will...
Well, this is my point. And again, talking about the third-party stuff, because that's where I was going to go next. It is a freaking murderer's row in May and June. Look, I'm obviously Suicide Squad is out. Zelda's coming in May. You already got Redfall, so you're not going to compete against yourself.
Right.
And you got Zelda coming in May. That's a monster. Diablo 4 is coming
July.
In June. Or, I thought it was June.
June, July 6th.
Up in there somewhere. Yeah. So June is July-ish. Final Fantasy 16 as well. Why compete against that stuff as a brand new IP? Push back a couple months. Give them a couple more months to polish and bug fix and things like that. But with all that said, when that game comes out on September 6th, I have an expectation of a very polished experience. Mm-hmm. Like when we talk bugs, I'm not the typical Bethesda jank is not acceptable. It's not. At this point, look, some bugs are going to happen. We get that. That's just a part of video games. But we're talking that traditional Bethesda, and I'm doing air quotes, lovable jank, that will not be acceptable for Starfield.
Agreed.
This time around, because you've had an extended delay already. You're now a part of Microsoft. There's no excuse. You're simply not, because you made the right call a year ago to delay it because it wasn't ready. And all right, here we go. Now we're going to get in September of 2023. I want a polished experience. I have a lot of expectations for it. I just do. And you should. This is the first brand new IP coming from Bethesda. And when I talk Bethesda, I'm talking Todd Howard Bethesda, you know, in how many freaking decades at this point. Microsoft as a whole, Xbox, needs this to be the flagship for 2023. We know it does. So, excuse me. So you don't half-ass this. This has to come out as a very polished, very playable, enjoyable experience. It just has to. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. I am convinced that if Bethesda was still its own entity and not a part of Xbox, this game would have been out last year. It would have. Mm. I truly believe that. I truly believe the powers that be came in and gave Bethesda more time so that this does come out to be a polished experience, because it needs to be. It needs to be. You sacrificed 2022 with Redfall and Starfield. You literally sacrificed it to where you had nothing. I mean, Pentiment was probably the biggest thing coming out of Xbox Game Studios in 2022. Love the game, but that's not a big AAA system selling experience. Right. It's just not. So you sacrifice an entire calendar year because these two games need to be good. They just need to be. So they better be. I mean, it's really that simple when it comes to that. So I have no problem with the delay to September. It's not egregious. Sure, they kind of broken the promise of what they had, and they're going to break the promise with Forza as well. Like, when I think about the rest of the year for Xbox, like I said, we're going to get Minecraft Legends in April. We're getting Redfall in May, Starfield in September. Again, Conspiracy Steve comes in. Forza Motorsport in October. Hellblade 2 in November.
Mm.
That's what I think when we talk internal studios.
Right.
That's what I think we get. Maybe there's another Hi-Fi Rush type AA experience that comes in the summer somewhere, but they also have Stalker 2 that they, you know, the partner content that's coming out. Stalker 2 is coming out at some point this year. Replaced, which I'm very high on, is coming out at some point this year as well. But when I just talk specifically Xbox Game Studios, I think that's the rest of the year for them. And it needs to be, because again, you sacrificed 2022. So 2023 shouldn't just be, well, here's the games that should have come out in 2022. There should also still be, like, again, we got Hi-Fi Rush. It's time for Hellblade 2. It just is. It's time. That was, if you think about it, the first Xbox Series X/S game we ever saw was Hellblade 2 at the Game Awards in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
It's time. It's 2023. Holiday 2023. It's been 4 years. It's time. Pandemic aside, it's time for that game to come out. So I expect it. I mean, obviously, if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. But I expect to see Hellblade 2 this year. I do.
You made a comment earlier about how the importance of this game launching well for Microsoft and Xbox Studios. Do you put this on Halo Infinite levels of delay plus impetus and how important it is, or more? Because of
it's even more because of the
hype and expectations of a title of this magnitude from Bethesda, being, you know, being Bethesda's first major new IP in over 25 years or whatever. You think it's more?
No.
Or you think it's
more? It is more because of the disappointment of Halo Infinite. Mm. You delayed that a year and it still wasn't ready. So you cannot do this again. You can't. You absolutely cannot. If we're having a conversation a year from now, still questioning Xbox Game Studios and the quality of their titles and the release cadence of their titles, that's a problem. Mm. We are now too far into this next generation that it's a problem, because we cannot use the pandemic as an excuse anymore. it is time for their internal studios to start delivering. And they were on track in 2021. Let's not get this mistaken. Forza Horizon 5 was great. There's another expansion coming out this year. Psychonauts 2 was fantastic as well. So it's not like they didn't have good games in 2021. It's you bailed on 2022. So why are people buying an Xbox? Why are people investing in the game? Look, I get why people invest in the Game Pass, but I'm talking from an internal studio standpoint. Where's the content? You have to start delivering it, and it has to be quality. They know that. Again, look at Hi-Fi Rush. Hi-Fi Rush was a great experience. So it's not Pentiment, again, as an example, was a good experience, obviously on a smaller scale, but it was good. So I expect Minecraft Legends to be good. I expect Redfall to be good. I expect Starfield to be good on down the line. They need to be. They have to be. Or what are we doing? Got That's it. How I look at it.
It kind of makes sense. I do have one last question, though. And I don't want to pit this as a studio or as a, you know, it's like as a console thing. But do you think that this impacts Spider-Man 2 and its release? Like, do you think that because of the hype for Spider-Man 2, that Sony sees this and does not want to put their title, their flagship for 23, up against Starfield, and maybe they pivot and look for a new date because they haven't really announced anything? But do you put that against that? It'll make its money. It'll make its sales. But do you pit it against that?
If Insomniac internally was on track to release Spider-Man 2 in September, mm-hmm. they're going to release Spider-Man 2 in September. It's a monster. It's a monster. There's only one other game. There's only one game that Spider-Man 2 would blink at. And that game is coming out in May. And that's Zelda.
That's Zelda.
Other than that, no. If anything, Starfield's an unknown. It's a brand new IP. You know what you're about to get with right. Spider-Man 2. That's a no-brainer. Again, kind of funny draft. When we just did that in January, I had the second pick. The first pick was Zelda. Mm. I took Spider-Man as an example. You see what I'm saying?
No,
they're not. They wouldn't move. If Insomniac was on track for September, they would still come out in September. Because if anything, PlayStation would look at Starfield and go, they'd be looking at Microsoft and Xbox going, I triple double dog dare you to go up against us. It will dominate the headlines. Spider-Man is one of the top five IPs in entertainment, period. So, no, an unknown IP is not going to waver anything that they're going to do. And isn't Spider-Verse, when is that coming out? I keep forgetting. When is Spider-Verse coming out? Is that still this year? Is that October? Is that right?
Edge of Spider-Verse or Into the Spider-Verse.
Is that October this year? I feel like it is.
Yeah, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. I don't know if there's a June 23, June 2nd.
Oh, so it's June. Okay. Why? For some reason, I was thinking maybe it was October 2022 and it got delayed to June. Okay. Because I was thinking there could be some synergy there.
Hold on a second. Across the Spider-Verse, June 2nd, 2023, delayed from an initial April 22. A third film, Spider-Man Beyond the Spider-Verse, is scheduled for March 2024.
Okay.
Then that's the one that's supposed to focus on... not Gwen Stacy, but Jessica Drew, sorry, a Spider-Woman.
Yeah. Okay, because I was thinking if it was October, there could have been some synergy there where you put the game out around the time the movie comes out, kind of similar to what PlayStation is doing right now with The Last of Us, coming to PC, whereas the show, originally it was going to be like literally the next week. The show ends, you know, this Sunday. Next week, the game was going to come out. It got a slight delay to the end of March, but same concept. So actually, I'll throw that out of the window. But again, to your original point, no, it would be the other way around. If anything, Starfield would move because of Spider-Man. But I think the fact that Xbox has come out now and locked in that date, they wouldn't dare move it at this point. They would just take their lumps. But I also don't think there's, excuse me, a reason that PlayStation would put Spider-Man head-to-head against Starfield. I could see it coming in September, but not that first week in September, maybe more towards the end of September. I personally, just my own speculation, I'm expecting Spider-Man in October. That's just me. I just think it's coming in October. but we'll obviously see, because it sounds like PlayStation will have their own big showcase towards the end of May, beginning of June as well. And I'd imagine that's when we'll see some actual Spider-Man 2 gameplay along with the whatever the release date's going to be.
Looking forward to it. It's going to be, I swear 23 is going to be one of those years. I think it might shape up to be, you know, 2007 levels of,
I think so. I do. I think this is a 1998, 2007 level year. And the pandemic does play into that, because I think a lot of things got delayed into this year. So now we got to start getting stuff out, because we got other stuff coming behind it. We can't just keep pushing the can down the road. That's, again, part of my reason of thinking, if Hellblade 2 is ready this year, Microsoft puts it out this year. Mm. You can't keep kicking the can down the road if you have other things from, like, what is Compulsion Games working on? What is In Exile working on? Like, there's other stuff that's coming from them that at some point you got to put release dates on. Avowed from Obsidian, I don't think it's coming this year, but I think it's coming next year, right? So at some point you got to start releasing this stuff and getting it out. So it'll be interesting, but I do think this is going to be a good year for gaming. I really do.
I'm going to go on record. I'm going to disagree. I think we see Hellblade 2 in 2024. I just think them pivoting from, what was it, Unreal 4 to Unreal 5 or whatever, the engine.
Yes, that plays into it.
Right, that plays into it. So I think they need more time to bake and understand the tech. So I think I think it goes in 2024, which lines up with what I said last year when we were talking about expectations for 23. I think we see that early 2024.
I think that's a disappointment personally for me. For me, that's disappointing. Again, it's the very first game that you saw, and now you're telling me it's going to take you 5 years to actually get it out the door. It's disappointing. It is for me. And okay, pandemic, engine switch, I get it. Smaller team at Ninja Theory, I get it. But as a gamer, at some point, I got to get the... Why is it taking you 5 years to get this game out the door? Mm. And you've shown it to me twice at this point. So are you going to... are we going to see it again? Are you showing it to me in June? And then telling me, wait another 9 to 10 months before I get it?
Well, wasn't it June 2021 when they mentioned... that I think it was like a comment of they hadn't gone into full production yet, and I think it was partially due to the switch from Unreal 4 to Unreal 5. That's a massive leap in tech.
Don't get me wrong.
I think you need the extra year. And that's why I think 24 is not out of the realm of reality, because you know you want to make sure that your teams are understanding and can have a great grasp on the tech to make sure that the game comes out great, because there's obviously, as well as you know, the first two came out, or as well as the first one did on launch, there's a lot of expectations on this, right? So
do not get me wrong, putting my engineering hat on, I get it from a technical standpoint for everything that you just said. It's not a unrealistic expectation to think 2024 from that standpoint, because you did switch engines. But I'm talking as a game. I wish Danny was here, because I already know what Danny would be saying right now. Oh, it'll be fine. Relax. It's fine. I get it. I'm talking as a gamer. I'm talking as someone who needs content from Xbox Game Studios. Why did I buy a Series X? Why did I buy a Series S? Why am I subscribed to Game Pass? You have to start delivering on content.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. And let's keep it real. Minecraft, Redfall, Starfield, Forza were supposed to be last year. So you can't push that can down the road and not give me something that should have been targeted in 2023. If it ain't Hellblade 2, it better be something else. That's all I'm saying, right? Yep. Start delivering content. I'm tired of seeing sizzle reels. I'm tired of seeing CGI stuff. Show me gameplay, put a release date on that son of a gun, and let's do it. And that's what this year is supposed to be for them. You know, I am saying this as someone, we went down memory lane. I am not on this podcast right now without Xbox. I'm saying this. I'm literally saying this as a fan of what they have contributed to the industry over the past 20 years. But we are at a reckoning. This is a reckoning. That's what 2023 is for them. They got to start delivering. Period, point blank. No excuses, no ifs, ands, or buts. I don't Look, when Phil and Sarah and whoever else comes out on that stage in June, hey, maybe it's me, I don't know, but whoever comes on that stage in June, I want to hear 20. I want to hear a lot of 2023s. That's all I'm saying. I want to hear 2023s. I want to, okay, some 2024s from some of the stuff. I get it. But if you're showing me Hellblade 2 again, and it's not coming this year, really? As a gamer, really? I got to wait. I still got to wait. You're showing it to me. Now this is the third time you're showing me. I'm like, what the hell is this The Last of Us? Remember they did that with The Last of Us? Showed it to us like 1,000 times before it came out.
Yep.
It's like, come on. I don't need that. That's all I'm saying. So I know, a little ranty there at the end, but that's my answer to your question about all that stuff.
Fair enough.
Just give me the games.
Fair enough.
But I think that's it. I think we had a good show here.
I agree.
Let's do this. So one more time, if you want to leave us any feedback, you can do it just like this.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Pete, I think that's it for the episode. Any last words, comments before we get out of here?
No, I think that's it. Obviously, great to talk to you one-on-one without Danny interrupting every 32 minutes.
Yeah, oh my God. Hasn't that been great? As I interrupted you. I had to interrupt you to thank you.
obviously, next week, I think we're going to be out because you guys have some stuff pre-recorded. Looking forward to the next time where the three of us are on a show. It's always fun times.
Yeah. Looking forward to it. Yeah, I think. Well, no. Wait, what am I looking at here? I don't know. That might not be the case. We might, all three of us, may be able to do something next week. TBD. Let's see. I'm looking at schedules and timings and embargoes and other things. So we might squeeze another one in there.
What I'd like to hear.
All right. Yep, me too. So, all right. I want to thank everybody for listening to this episode of Gamertag Radio 1248. I am Paris. That's Pete. Danny, thankfully, is not here. And we will see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Six months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.